being humble. He not only speaks about that, he speaks about justice and equality. Christ talks about us being the salt of the world. What does it mean to be the salt of the world? Where the salt affects a lot of things, right? Back in the days, or even now, salt is used to preserve. Salt is used to affect the flavor of food, right? So believers in Christ should affect the world by the way we live and act towards another, towards each other, and towards other people. It's also, I don't know if this is still a thing, but they used to mix it with honey, and it was used as a healing agent. He also talks about being the light of the world, the light of the world, letting our light shine before man so they can see God's good work and glorify our Father in heaven, a light that brings hope to the lost. That's what we are meant to be in this earth. He teaches us how to pray. It's our baseline, right? And we'll go back to that. We'll come back to the prayer. So what was the purpose of the sermon? He was offering a path forward to hold on to high standards without tying our status to them. Rather than just presenting us with new rules, it's an invitation to the very heart of God. That's what he did during the sermon. He invited us to his very own heart. One topic that he spoke about that really hit home to me was not to worry about material possessions, but living a life full of righteousness and integrity. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. And it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what will you wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the sky, in the air. Do they not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them? Are you not more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" You know what I was thinking is actually quite the opposite, right? We spend so much time worrying. It's time wasted. Sometimes we can't control it. "And why do you worry about your clothes? So see how the flowers and the fields grow? They do not labor or spin." Or in other languages, they don't spend tons of money in Kohl's or Macy's, right? That's in our language. "Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what will we wear?' For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Easier said than done. The Lord had to teach me, and is still teaching me, how to walk with people that I love that struggle with worry and fear and anxiety, all these things that I'm also learning myself. I've gone through seasons of fear. One of the biggest ones I always bring up is just COVID. COVID, where I had no job because school was closed. My husband had no job for a bit. And we had health insurance through my job, so the fear of not having health insurance and getting sick. But through that, the Lord provided and provided, and I was blessed to keep my insurance without work. We were blessed through many channels. Just seeing how he glorified himself through this time, this hard time, this is where this part of Matthew just took life in me. And it's a part and a season in my life that I will never forget. A lot of people, they relate COVID with just being sick. I relate COVID with having to depend on the Lord for absolutely everything. And the testimony that came out of this season in our lives, it's big. It's very big. So we can truly find like endless reasons to worry. Kids, marriage, finances, relationships, work, our future. If we let our thoughts go wild, we can concoct all sorts of terrible scenarios, starting with the infamous what if, right? What if? But I've noticed something about worry. 99% of the past fears never come to pass. Sometimes we just go so overboard, and at the end of the day, it's time wasted. And I would spend a lot of time worrying and how I wish I have, you know, I can have that time back and do something productive with it. What if I had turned away my worries, if I had would have turned my worries into worship? But God can use our tendencies to worry to grow our faith. And as we turn our panics into fervent prayer and praise, trusting God's plan and timing, our relationship with God will be strengthened. And it brings to mind Isaiah 41:10 that says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Or Proverbs, in Proverbs 29:25, it says, "Fear of man will prove to be snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." There is a constant battle for your thoughts and your heart. Three voices, not two. There's three. There's God, there's the enemy, and there's yourself. And how do we discover what are lies and what is the truth? We need to discover what the word says about who he is and who we are. Who we are in him and what Jesus made available through the work he did in the cross for us. A couple of years ago, the ladies did a Bible study called Get Out of Your Head. I don't know if you ladies remember this one. Author Jenny Allen just digs into the book of Philippians. She brought these words that just, I live and breathe these words because they are a constant reminder of who he is to me and who I am to him and who I am because of him. So it says, "I am who I am. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. I am light. In me, there is no darkness at all. My hands lay the foundation of the earth. My right hand spread out the heavens when I called them. They stand forth together. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I chose you and appointed you that you could go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." And I want to add to that, if it is his will. "I am he who blots out your mistakes. I will not remember your sins." He doesn't remember our sins. Why do we have to? Paul said in Philippians 3:13, he said that we must forget what is being, that we forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead. Why do we have to become great at forgetting? Because we are new creation with a new identity and a new motivation. Like we were singing this morning, he made us new. Now a new life begins with him.
Amen.
God is good.
Amen.
He's so good. "To all who receive me, who believe in my name, I give them the right to become children of God. Do you know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in you? My spirit is within you. I will not leave you. I will equip you for every good work I plan. I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. I will build my church through you, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will comfort you as you wait. I will remind you this is all real. I am on my way. My steadfast love endures forever and ever. Forever, not just when we're obedient, but when we're stubborn and rebellious.
Amen.
Right? Not when life is just rainbows and happy days, but when we're in the middle of the sorrow and going through our valley, his love is steadfast, which means he's loyal, he's faithful,
yes.
He's consistent and constant. And in just a little while, I am coming. I will take you to the place where I am. You will inherit the earth. You will be with me. I will wipe every tear from your eye, and death will be no more. Behold, I am making all things new. My kingdom come. My will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These powerful words, I have them posted in my house. I always think of, what's the one place where I actually like sit and like I want to read something or on board? Yeah, I put it in the bathroom. Right? Why not?
It's good.
Reading material, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to have all of that back there if you guys want a copy, because I think it's so worth to share. I only have about 20, so if you want it, you got to run again. So we use all these truths to pull down the thoughts that just don't line up with them. And you know what the beauty is in all of this? That we are guaranteed victory through the blood that was shed. Victory over the thoughts that can cause bondage, fear, oppression, worry, guilt, shame, and sadness. All these thoughts can be held captive. God intended us to receive freedom, peace, and joy in our lives. The Lord is bigger than your worries. The Lord is bigger than your problems, and he's bigger than the fear. Fear makes you forget how faithful God has been. C.S. Lewis said, "Hardship often prepares ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny." So following the Lord does not mean that all of a sudden there will be hardship. Whoever said that to you, Hardship will be there. It doesn't mean that we aren't going to go through the nitty-gritties of life. The battles will come, and so it just means that we will have the victory through the one that died for us. It means that we don't fight alone. It means that we will fight aside the one that defeated death. So verse 6, when you pray, go into your room or closet or car or bathroom, wherever. Close the door or the curtain and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Verse 9 through 13 says, "This then is how you should pray." The Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. That means you're addressing him. Addressing him as the one who created us, as the one true God, above any other God that this world ever created. He is the one true God. It unites us as believers, because otherwise it would have said, my Father, right? My Father in heaven. No, he is our Father in heaven. That's how we are united through him. Hallowed be your name. It means that we call him holy or sanctified. We recognize him as the Almighty Father, and that there is no one else holy like him. He is the one true holy God. Your kingdom come. We pray that his kingdom takes place in the here and now, so we can live in a world characterized by faith, hope, and love. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means that he reigns with compassion and justice, right? So we surrender to his will over our own lives, and his will is to love him with all our hearts, mind, and soul, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. So that is his will over our lives. Give us today our daily bread. This doesn't only mean provision for everything we need. Spiritual sustenance, nourishment of the soul, nourishment that comes from the bread of life, that comes down from heaven. Whoever feeds from his bread of life will live forever. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. probably one of the hardest parts of the prayer to pray. And to follow. So not only asking for forgiveness, but forgiving others can lead us to grace that transforms us. Letting it go. How many times I've told my kids, let it go. Sometimes I can say that to myself. Let it go. And lead us not into temptation. We're asking for discernment to steer clear from temptation and sin. For the Lord to extend his guiding hand, but deliver us from the evil one. For the many times that we do fall into temptation and sin, he pulls us out and sets us free. He shows us his grace and his mercy and his unconditional love. We ask for him to lead us to avoid it. But if it happens, he's there with his mercy and his open arms to clean you, clean your heart, and love you unconditionally. For a big part of my life, I thought I wasn't good enough to pray. I wasn't good enough to speak to him. And I memorized the Lord's Prayer very early on. But at that time, they were just words. I was little. They were just words that we probably got a reward for to memorize at, like, Bible, you know, Sunday Bible school. But I was unclear of what all of this meant, the importance that it is to speak to our Lord. I didn't know that having open communication was important with the one that created me. I had all the tools very early on. I just didn't know what I needed them for. I was intimidated by people that would pray these fancy prayers with big words and, you know, have this very extent vocabulary. I was like, I can't pray like that. You're not going to listen to me. But all along, all the Lord wanted me to do was talk to him. The way I would sit down and talk to an old friend, or sit down and talk to my siblings or my mom, you know. When I realized that, I felt so much better. I felt included. I felt accepted just the way I was. And I felt intimacy with my Lord, my Father, my Creator. So he doesn't require fancy words. I'm so happy about that because I don't have them. He doesn't require us to pray with certain vocabulary or certain order. He just wants your humble heart. He just wants you to run to him when things are good, when things are bad, when things are easy, and when things, that's what he wants from us. When life isn't going the way you want it to, and even when the blessings are abundant. All the time. He just wants relationship. He wants to know you, and he wants to be with you. Fill you with his spirit. Comfort you and fill you with the peace that he offers. And all we have to do is receive it. That's it. There's just two questions. What words of encouragement do you have that you can share concerning prayer and intimacy with the Lord? What do you have to say to encourage those around you about prayer? And has the Lord ever met you in your time of prayer with him? Can you share that? Anytime you share, it's just encouraging to those that think that they're walking through this alone. And if I always say, if there's something special about this church community, is that we're friends and we feel comfortable sharing. And that is something that we need to grasp on and take a full advantage of it. So if you haven't found someone that you've connected with, this family is full of people like that. God bless you guys, and let's get together. Thank you.